Welcome to the Author Hangout, where we interview best-selling authors and experts in the book publishing industry to reveal the tips and advice you need to succeed as an author in today's publishing landscape. Enjoy the show.
Hey there, Sean Manaher here. Welcome to another episode of the Author Hangout, where authors like you learn how to sell more books through the lessons, experience, and wisdom from their fellow authors. Today, we have another replay episode, and today we're talking with Jane Friedman. Back in December 2014, she sat down with us to talk about a lot of things. 10 key questions to help you flourish in building your author platform and why you likely shouldn't blog. Lots of questions, lots of insight in that interesting part of why you shouldn't blog. So listen in and I'll catch you at the end. So today we are having a great time with a guest, Jane Friedman. Jane Friedman is the co-founder and publisher of Scratch, a magazine about the business side of writing life, and the former publisher of Writer's Digest. She has more than 15 years of experience inside the book, magazine, and literary publishing industries. Jane specializes in educating writers about the publishing industry, helping them make the best long-term decisions for their careers. Her tagline, helping authors and publishers flourish in the digital age. Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And it is so good to have you here. And we're pleased to be able to get you on the show. You're so busy. It was like, I think 6 months ago that we said, hey, you want to be on the show, but I do appreciate you being on the show. Really glad you could make it.
Thanks for your patience.
No, absolutely. Really, really glad. So, Jane, in getting things started, why don't you tell us your story about getting started in the business of publishing and helping writers? Really give us the detail around how you got started and where you're at now.
Well, my career in publishing started when I was still in college, when I got an internship at the company I eventually spent more than a decade at. So I started working at a company called F&W Media, which is based in Cincinnati but has 7 or 8 offices that extend all the way to the UK, New York, the West Coast. So it's called a special interest publisher, or I should say that's what it was called when I first joined. It's now become a very multimedia-driven company with a heavy emphasis on e-commerce. So while I was there, they're the corporate parent of Writer's Digest, which many writers are familiar with. So I spent 10 years at Writer's Digest, specifically working on information, education, and services to writers. So that's where the bulk of my experience in the writing-specific community comes in. But of course, while I was at that company, I was also working on a range of different products, including magazines, books, competitions, and events, some of them for writers, some of them for other audiences, since the company is very multifaceted. So I had a very interesting career there because it spanned that very interesting time when things were moving very in the early stages to digital, when social media started emerging. And so I got to know, kind of be on the front end of what that meant for the brand of Writer's Digest, as well as for corporate publishing in general, how they have to change their business model in order to stay relevant and stay profitable.
And was that transition that you're talking about, was that a difficult transition for a lot of people in the industry? How was that?
Yes, it was quite difficult, especially at the company I was at. There were several exchanges in ownership, because I don't think it's not news to anybody that there is a lot of consolidation happening in publishing, as there is throughout media. So the effects of that were being felt, and of course, when you have new owners, they're looking to cut costs, but also bring more innovation and more efficient ways of working. And you do tend to lose people during those transitions because they're people who just don't buy into the new way of either working or the new tools or the new direction.
And when we're thinking about that individual author, was that equally as difficult for that individual author as you've been working with them?
I think that, at least, again, speaking from the perspective of a company that was very focused on not just books and magazine, but also services and education, we started looking at authors and writers as what you might call content providers. And you know, there are a lot of authors out there who do not like to be thought of as a content provider. They don't like to think of what they do as content generation.
Which
I totally understand. I'm a little bit more on, I would say, like the internet marketing side. Like I'm more accepting of the idea of content because to me it's a much more forgiving and fluid term, more dynamic term, where you can think a little bit more broadly about what's possible with the writing that you're producing and how many different forms that can take.
And then when you're kind of fast forwarding a little bit into your own business, can you tell us a little bit about how you transitioned from that into then helping authors?
Sure. It was a very natural transition for me since a lot of my career at F&W was focused on the writing and publishing community. So it was like meta publishing and meta writing. So when I left, I went straight into full-time teaching, mainly teaching traditional college-age students. But I also had a lot of experience teaching at conferences and continuing education types of events. For people who are adults and kind of going back to some of their first earliest passions, like the book that they feel that they have inside them. So I had a lot of experience teaching in that community, and then I switched to the university community where I was helping students learn how to build their own careers in, specifically in digital media. I was in not a creative writing department or a journalism department, but in an electronic media division. We were preparing students to enter media companies and the media business. So for me, education has always been a really key part of what I do. It was at the company, the official publishing company I was at, and I was still, even in the education world, to which I'm still in, obviously at the University of Virginia, it's helping students learn the professional practices of publishing, whether that's through the industry itself, but also the very important aspect of self-producing or self-publishing, knowing how and when to produce your own stuff, how to do it in a way that's strategic and benefits your career.
And we're down the vein of authors specifically. So you give talks about building author platform. Why would you say, why is building a platform so important for authors?
It's what I consider like the long game. It's trying to build a readership that's going to be with you for not just one book, but for every book that you write, or for every story that you tell, or every product or service that you develop. So platform goes beyond a single marketing campaign. It's about developing your audience. And for that reason, it tends to be very organic. It's not like a one-time event. It's something that you're going to put a little bit of effort into on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. And certainly there will be campaigns within that, like tied to very specific books. But platform building is, I like the term audience development, which comes more from the nonprofit world, about thinking about how one reader's value extends over a very long period of time.
So, I mean, that makes a ton of sense. But why do you think so many authors struggle with this idea of building a platform?
Well, many people find marketing and promotion to be somehow antithetical or at cross purposes to the artistic mindset. They feel like they just want to focus on the writing and they don't really have time, nor do they have the expertise to look at the marketing piece. On the other hand, I think every writer probably has an ideal reader in mind, or they want to be read, and I think being able to think about how you're going to entertain or delight that audience, or how you can best interact with that audience, it only usually increases or furthers your own intrinsic motivations for why you're writing in the first place, which is to reach a particular readership. So if writers can stop seeing marketing as something that's like outside of the realm of their imagination or creativity, and think of it as something that's kind of intrinsic to the work itself, I think it all goes much more smoothly and doesn't feel like such a departure from the writing activity. I think one of the biggest problems, to kind of put this in concrete terms, is authors hear this kind of disembodied advice, whether that's from their publisher or somebody else, to get on Twitter, start a blog, or start a Facebook page. And I call it disembodied advice because it really has usually nothing to do with the writer's personality, the writer's work, the writer's skill set. And so they hear all of these kind of commandments, like, oh, you have to do X, Y, Z in order to market your book, when it may or may not be effective, and it's not tied to any strategy or long-term thinking about what those platforms can do in the long term.
Cool. So to kind of go away from that, like, spot advice, what are the key components of an author platform, and how do they all work together?
I think the most important is the author's work. Like, it all starts from the work. You have to be actually producing work before you can be very serious about developing a platform. And I think that's where a lot of confusion comes into play, because authors get advised to build a platform before they even have a first book out, which I understand some of the thinking behind that, and I'll let that go for the moment. But it's really hard to build a platform when you're not even sure you have an audience for a particular book yet. You don't have, like, a book that's attracting people. So it starts with the work, and it grows from that base. That's the first, like, principle, I would say. And then you need a website. Like, every author who's serious has to have a website, and that is, like, information central or brand central for everything else that gets done, as far from a marketing and platform building perspective. So, and then you layer on top of that the activities that you feel comfortable doing on an ongoing basis, whether that's interacting on Facebook or Twitter, doing reviews on Goodreads, being a good literary citizen in some way, doing events. So that gets layered on top of that. And then there are other things you can do that are more strategic with community outreach, like doing reading series or Twitter chats or interviewing authors or experts, as you do. And then there are just so many ways that you can just build on that base of your work and your website and a little bit of interaction, whether that's online or offline. And I think that's where it all starts. And a lot of people aren't thinking about it in that holistic way. They're thinking about it in these very isolated ways.
And how do you keep from becoming formulaic in that process? Because you really are giving us steps that authors can take, you know, to build a platform. So first you start with your work, then you do the website, and then there's other steps. How can an author, should they be formulaic, you know, and, okay, I got to do these, or how do they tailor it to them?
I think the only way in which it's formulaic is you've got to have the work and the website. And then after that, I feel like all questions should be answered on a very unique basis. So for instance, just to use a superstar example, John Green, YA author, very early in his career, he and his brother started this very popular video blogging series called The Vlog Brothers. And when you see them on video, it's, like, so obvious. They were, like, made for that medium. Like, they excel at doing videos. And even the brother has now, like, a very profitable company based on video. So, but video is actually, that's suitable for maybe, I don't know, 0.5% of the author population. Maybe I'm underestimating, or I could be overestimating. But that was, like, just so perfect, and he hit on the right thing, and it also happens to be the place where his potential audience is, and he's talking about topics and subject matter that interests the readers of his books. So they're like, there's this really sweet spot that he's hitting of the right medium or channel, where his audience is, what his strengths are, and so every author has to have this kind of self-awareness of what they can sustain and what they can do well, but also have the patience to, like, get better at whatever it is they're trying and be willing to experiment with some things that they may have some discomfort with first because it's strange or weird, but then once they get into it and practice it a little bit, they realize that there are some benefits there.
Yeah, and I get the sense that, like, exactly like you said, trying, and a lot of authors may not be comfortable, but if they could take the experience and the skills and the passions that they have as a leverage point and say, I may not know how to do X, but I know all of this stuff, so maybe I could apply it to that as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So once they have the product and their website set up, what are some of the questions they should be asking themselves, and what are those first few steps to kind of make that next step to figure out those places that, like the author you mentioned on YouTube and the video medium was really good for them? What are some of those questions they should be asking themselves?
Well, I think the first steps with the website are you want to be thinking about the branding that you have on it and making sure that whatever your most recent book is or whatever your series is, that that's very plain and clear in the branding of the site, and that it's clear what sort of books that you write and that you're appealing to your target audience. And there should be a very clear call to action, too. You know, most people who visit your site might not be there for more than 10 seconds. They might not ever come back. So if they have any interest at all in your books or your work, you need to drive them to the number one thing you want them to do if you do have them for 5 to 10 seconds. That might be signing up for your email newsletter, reading an excerpt from your work, maybe buying the book. It kind of depends on how they got to your website. But that needs to be very clear, and I think a lot of authors just assume people will spend minutes on their site when it's really seconds. So you have to be very very conscious of the short attention spans. So, and then asking questions beyond that, it's so personality driven, but I think you part of it begins in looking at the qualities of your work and what mediums really complement it. So, you know, for some poets, I find that they have a lot of affinity or like fondness for things like Instagram, because there's something quite poetic about Instagram. And you can even, in fact, there's a company called TweetSpeak Poetry that does a series called Word Candy, or at least they did. I'm not sure if it's still continuing. But it was just it was just images with a few words on it, and it made you feel inspired and more poetic for looking at it. And it's the kind of thing that would do well on Instagram or Pinterest or Tumblr. So you have to look at the kind of the qualities of your work and where you think it's going to be best, where it can best show off its stuff. And then you also have to look at your own skills or what you're willing to learn and carry out probably at least on a weekly or monthly basis, if not daily basis. It kind of depends on your writing practice and what you're hoping, how fast you need to build momentum. I think that's the other consideration here, is how much time can you really carve out to put into all of this? Not every author is going to be able to spend the same amount of time. We all have very different lives. We have different family concerns, different job concerns, and so while I might be able to spend like 2 to 4 hours a day on platform building, not that I do, but like I could, that's not realistic. So yeah. You have to be able to choose things that you can comfortably do consistently to see, you know, the payoff in the long term.
And it's just like any business. I think I shared this calculation at some point before, that if we were to do marketing the right way for what we're doing at the Author Hangout and Book Marketing Tools, if we were to do it right, we would need 6 full-time people. Okay. And this is the right way to do it. You have social media going, you have email going, you have video going, you have blogging going, all that. 6 full-time people. Who nobody has 6 full-time people.
Yeah, exactly. And I run into this with the magazine I run, Scratch, which, you know, doesn't really earn me any income, but is very important to me from a service perspective, and I think there's a bigger future there. But like, if we were really doing it right, we would be having Twitter chats every month, and we would be putting on we would be doing a podcast like you are with some of our contributors. There is so much we should be doing, but it's you have to prioritize. You can't do it all.
Yeah.
So one of those things that authors could be doing is blogging. How can an author use blogging to help build their audience?
It's great that you brought this up, because I just did a blog post a couple days ago on what should authors blog about. And
nice.
I have a very long preface to the real meaty advice, which is, well, maybe you just shouldn't blog in the first place. if you have to ask what you're going to blog about, maybe you shouldn't. And again, this is my reaction to the disembodied go blogging advice that so many authors get. And you can tell that they're just basically confused and probably aren't going to stick with it long enough for the time and effort to be meaningful. So the thing that I would say, like, just most critically, is that blogging is an art form, and a lot of people treat it as something throwaway. And I really believe that for it to be done well, you have to like actually enjoy what blog posts are in and of themselves and not try and force them to be something they're not. A lot of writers and authors just will treat it as if they were writing for print or for some other kind of formal publication, but it's not the same. And so there has to be a willingness to understand that and to get better at that type of writing, which is a very particular kind of writing. So as far as what you blog about, there are several different models, and I think for fiction writers and poets have it tougher because you're not going to be blogging parts of your book, or you're going to run out of content if you're talking about your writing process or your research. There's just a limited amount to discuss there, at least from my perspective, for most authors. Nonfiction how-to authors have it easier, or any kind of nonfiction author who's not writing narratives, because your subject matter, your topics, that will likely lend themselves right away to all sorts of blog posts, especially if you're educating in any way or doing workshops. So back to the question for fiction writers and poets, you know, there's this thing called literary citizenship, which is very popular to talk about in the more literary MFA community, which is kind of their palatable way of thinking about marketing and promotion, which means talking about books, writers, and things that surround the literary community that you want to see flourish. And it could be interviewing other authors, reviewing or talking about books that you've read lately, looking at news and trends in your community. So there's a range of ways to talk about the books and literary community that could be beneficial, but the big question is how can you bring your own angle or perspective to it without repeating what's already out there, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times on all sorts of sites. I think some of the most successful blogs that I see from authors are usually multi-contributor blogs, where there you see like 5 or 6 thriller authors or romance authors or science fiction authors get together, and that helps reduce a little bit of the burden and the pressure because you're trading off blogging responsibilities, but you're also bringing together all of the different audiences you have, and there's a lot of good cross-pollination there. So for some authors, especially those in the commercial fiction genres, I think that can be a very interesting way to get the benefits without the huge time commitment that it takes.
So with the time commitment and considering that, in assuming that we're talking to now writers who are blogging and want to do it, how important is it for authors to be consistent in that blogging process?
Well, there's two types of consistency. There's the frequency, which I think if you're just starting out, if you're not doing it at least once a week, I'm not sure you're ever going to gain the momentum you need. I would recommend at least twice a week. And then there's the kind of frequency or consistency that's about the subject matter, the topics. And you can think about this in terms of headlines for your blog posts. If you look at a month's worth of headlines, they need to tell a story about the types of stuff you're writing about, and it should send a really strong message to your potential reader about what they can expect or how they're going to benefit from reading your posts on an ongoing basis. I think a lot of authors have trouble staying focused and disciplined with one topic or subject matter, either because they think their readers will get bored or maybe they'll get bored, but it's just so hard to gain traction if you're jumping around all the time, you're not consistent with the sorts of posts you're doing, and people don't know when to expect them. Like, they can't even trust that you might come back next week. So I would say, you know, you're looking at least 3 to 9 months of really consistent frequency and topics before people will start sticking around. Because, I mean, obviously so many blogs start and then go nowhere because people just aren't committed.
And in that connecting with people, I guess I want to explore that a little bit further. Are people waiting around for you to be consistent to kind of engage, or what does that look like?
I think the importance of consistency is not so much that people are waiting to see if they're going to trust you or actually subscribe, but it actually takes people seeing links to your posts over many months before they might actually click through on one, or before they even become aware that your blog exists. And this isn't necessarily through any fault of your own. It's just there's an incredible amount of noise around us, and there's a lot of demands on everybody's attention. So if someone just posts a link to their blog on Twitter or Facebook, I might not notice it. And I might notice one post one day, but it usually takes a consistent impression over a long period before it really starts to click, oh, this person is blogging, and they're regularly covering this topic. And I think that's, so, I mean, we can get this tunnel vision where we think, oh, everybody knows I'm blogging because I've posted about it, but no, that's not the case, and that's why I think consistency is so important.
What inspires you specifically to continue writing and to stay fresh and keep that consistency in your own business going?
I think when I was, I'm in a very lucky, advantageous position right now because I feel like I put in the really hard work around between 2010 and 2012 where I was really disciplined about showing up. And even if I didn't feel like I had a blog post in me, I still got one up, which has its pros and cons. And I'm at the point now where I don't have to be that disciplined because I've reached a following that doesn't require me to like post every day or even post more than once a week. So there's that, you get that privilege after a while because people have learned to trust you. And if you say, okay, I'm pulling back now because I don't want to create more posts than I think you actually need, people can respect that. But a lot of my own inspiration comes from speaking directly with writers and hearing their questions, either at writing conferences or I consult with many different authors, and so when I see the same issues coming up again and again and again, it almost always results in a blog post.
In those conversations right now, if you look back over the last 3 months, what's the most common issue or problem facing authors today?
The biggest issue is definitely, well...
These weren't in the notes. The trick question, it wasn't in the notes, so.
I'll just limit it. I mean, I always want to try and take into account what everybody might be experiencing. But I'll just say, for the types of authors I encounter, people are asking, what are the buttons that I press to make the marketing work? People are very either confused or frustrated that what they used to do doesn't work anymore, or that what they're doing for the first time doesn't work the way they thought it would, even though it's been highly recommended by XYZ expert. So there, of course, there are lots of reasons things may not work the way they used to. And I think a lot of it is just misunderstanding of how to apply the principles they've learned, and also just a lack of patience. I talked with one author last month, someone who's very experienced, like, they are not new to the publishing industry. And they wanted to know why they weren't seeing sales in like the hundreds of copies per day. And their book had only been out a week. And it's just like, you've got to give it time. You can't expect results overnight. But unfortunately, that's kind of, I don't know how to explain this heightened expectation. But I think people need to just realize that especially if you're self-publishing, time is on your side. Like, things should gain momentum, not diminish, if you're continuing to put out good work. Now, with traditional publishing, it's a bit of a different conversation, but I'm talking mainly of independent authors or hybrid authors who are looking for answers on how to market better.
Yeah, I think it's really key that people, I don't know if they caught it or not, but you said you put a lot of work in from 2010 to 2012, and you're seeing a lot of that benefit now.
Yes.
And I think it's that same kind of principle that applies, that a lot of the work that you put in now isn't just going to be a push button, get 100 sales type of thing, but it's going to build that audience.
Exactly.
So as we're wrapping this up, I wanted to ask this final question. So with all the knowledge and experience that you have now, if you were starting out as an author today, what are, let's say, three key things you would make sure you do?
you were just starting out today, number one is make sure you have your website in place and that you've got your call to action there. I would think about, assuming that you're producing books for the long term, think very carefully about the branding that you have on those books and that it's reflected in all of your touch points. So whether that's your website, your blog, your Facebook account, your Twitter account, your business cards, try and get some unity in the message that you're sending across all of your marketing collateral, because it just makes a really, really strong impression. And again, I keep talking about these marketing impressions or touch points. It's just to reinforce and to make people aware by the third, fourth, or fifth time that, oh, this is the author who does this. And then for a third thing, I think content strategy, which we kind of touched on at the very, very beginning, content strategy is something that a lot of authors don't have a lot of knowledge or experience about, but I think is really important for long-term platform building. And if it's a term that you're not familiar with, I think it's worth reading up on either through a site like copyblogger.com, which I highly recommend to kind of hone your marketing skills, or you can get books on it, just to start like getting your head in a different place when you're looking at the books that you have and what you can do with them, because people are usually underutilizing the resources they have right in front of them, and instead of using what they've got, they're creating more when they don't necessarily have to. They can get a lot more mileage out of the content that they have.
So this has been a great show. There's been so much information that you shared. Jane, I really appreciate you being on the show again. And if you would, give us a call to action. Where can people find you and connect with you? And then we'll wrap things up.
You can find me at janefriedman.com, which is my website, where I have a free advice archive that goes into a lot of these issues in depth. And then I also do a magazine called Scratch on the business side of the writing life, and you can find links to that all over my website, and it's also at scratchmag.net.
Great. Thanks, Jane. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Author Hangout. We had a great episode with Jane, and this is Sean Manaher and RJ Adams. Thanks, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Well, there you have it, Jane Friedman sharing a bit about the things that you can do to flourish and build your platform as an author, and that idea of not blogging. Thought it was pretty interesting, and we did come around to talk about blogging and why you may want to do that. A lot of interesting things about the consistency with that blog and what you should be posting about as a fiction author. There may be limitations to what you share, but she gave you some great insight as to what to do. And talking about updated information, Jane actually recently published a new blog post, The Ultimate Definitive Guide on Blogging for Authors, and you can take a look at that at janefriedman.com/blogging-for-writers. Again, janefriedman.com/blogging-for-writers. And you can take a look at what she has to share there. Some awesome insights. Well, this has been another edition of the Author Hangout. We'll see you next week, and thanks again.
Thanks for listening to the Author Hangout. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher to get the new episodes delivered directly to your device. Watch the video from this episode and get the transcript at theauthorhangout.com. The Author Hangout is brought to you by bookmarketingtools.com.
Over the course of the last 2 months, we've been building out content to develop a workshop that we're going to be doing in St. Louis, Missouri in June. And through that process, I realized, you know, this is information that authors everywhere would really want to listen in on. And because of that, I've been taking a lot of time to try and boil down, number one, the outline of what I want to share at this workshop, but also to share with you. And so what we're doing, as I alluded to it a couple of weeks ago, is we're developing a bookmark marketing system workshop that focuses on the three core areas of growing an audience, building your list, and creating a system to sell more books. And through this entire process, I've been working through, well, what are the core concepts and ideas that authors need to focus on if they are to grow that audience, build their list, and create a system to sell books. And here are a number of items that I have come up with that I feel would be ideal and timely and important for authors. There are 10 things that I want to focus on in this book marketing system, broken up into three main sections of the audience, the list, and the system. And so here are some of the things that I want to share with you. And what I would like to hear back from you is, what do you think about this? Are there areas within these areas that you really want to understand? Are there areas that I share that you're like, oh, I really don't want to hear about that because I've already heard enough about that? Or, hey, did you think about this? So these are the 10 core areas. These are the 10 sections of content and information that we've been developing over the last couple of months that I want to share with you over the next next 8 to 12 weeks on the Author Hangout. So here they are, the 10 things that I believe that you need to do in order to create any book marketing system that ultimately helps you to sell more books. Number one, you really need to create a reader profile, and one that doesn't take a lot of time. I'm talking about like 10 minutes or less. And so we want to go through the process of creating that reader profile. Number two, identifying the one social media platform that you should be on today. Number three, how to use blogging, podcasting, social media, and email to delight your readers. Number four, I want to help you discover and finally understand how to set up and use AWeber and MailChimp right. Number five, why most landing pages suck because they aren't doing these five things right. Number six, how to instantly get 5 new email subscribers during the workshop. In our case of listening to the podcast, I want you to turn off the podcast and do what I tell you, and you're going to get 5 new subscribers. Number eight, setting and accomplishing your book marketing goals in the next 90 days. I want to help you to move beyond this idea you're stuck in just learning to doing something that's going to transform your life in the next 90 days. Number nine, how to get 10 new reviews for your book without paying for them on Fiverr. Number 10, how to leverage the power of free and bargain book promotions effectively. So those are the 10 areas and topics that I want to help you with over the next 8 to 12 weeks. And it's going to focus, as I mentioned, on this development of a book marketing system, how to grow an audience, a list, and a system to help you sell more books. I would love to hear your feedback on this. Give me an email at sean@bookmarketingtools.com. Look forward to your feedback, and we'll catch you soon.